Let's check in with our buddy Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. What's up, man?
Sounds like you're trying to reason with hurricane season down there.
Exactly. And it's a big storm. I know the governor's called a state of emergency for the state of Alabama, and that makes sense for southeastern Alabama. Over here in our neighborhood, it sounds like, we're going to have some winds and a little bit of rain, but nothing that, that's major for us. But, yeah, you look at an area like Dothan, down through the Wiregrass, that area could get a pretty significant impact.
It'll be pretty bad down there, and they're used to it. They get a lot of that, panhandle storms up there. But, yeah, they're preparing for hurricane-force winds in Dothan, which, that's 70-plus. That's a strong wind in that far inland.
Yeah, and there's a lot of trees between the coast and Dothan there to take a licking out there. So it's we'll be watching. But this is a significant storm at a Category 3 is what they're predicting for landfall. So many things here in the state I want to talk with you about. And I want to remind folks, too, they can get a heads up what's going on at home in Alabama every morning in their inbox when they sign up to get your email.
That's right. It's just Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. You can sign up right there on the homepage. Just push subscribe. Every morning I send out an email that is just a rundown of all the day's news, whether it's here in the state with what's going on with the elections and everything, or from Washington, D.C. Obviously, there's plenty going on up there, too. But it's just a really quick rundown of what you need to know to start your day. So, yeah, aldailynews.com. Go there, subscribe, and hit me up with some feedback. I really enjoy feedback from readers.
Absolutely. I want to talk about this tonight going on NBC Nightly News anchor Lester Holt, who, by the way, if the old legacy networks, probably my favorite anchor from that that group. Lester Holt's going to be in Montgomery as part of his Across America tour. What's he doing, and what's he doing in Montgomery?
Yeah, it's really neat for Montgomery. Montgomery's the smallest town that he's going to be visiting. Lester Holt talked about how generally when NBC News, when they go to outside of New York, it's for some tragedy, or a hurricane or tornado or some bad thing, or maybe the Olympics. but normally they don't ever get outside of New York, so he wanted to tour across the country, for no other reason than just to get out and see everybody. And so I think it's a really neat thing. And apparently the people at WSFA, the NBC affiliate Montgomery, made a good case. And so they got on the list. So, yeah, it's kind of Lester Holt Day here in Montgomery. He's traveling around the city, and I think he's having lunch downtown at one of our old haunts. And so it's just kind of a really neat thing. And he'll be broadcasting NBC Nightly News from Dexter Avenue, downtown Montgomery. So that's a really fun thing for us up here, but really for the whole state.
Yeah, he's anchoring. It's not just he's going to do a series of packages or whatever. He's going to be sitting there anchoring the news, but doing it from Montgomery.
That's right. I'm really eager to see what angle they take, because he's going to be beside the King Memorial Baptist Church, where, of course, Dr. Martin Luther King was a pastor during the 50s and 60s. But, if you turn just around a little bit, it's the state capitol. So I imagine they're going to do something interesting with the angles. But, yeah, he'll be anchoring the nightly news from Montgomery. So that's really neat. And I think, they'll do some packages showing the different things he's seen around town. They're obviously focusing a lot on civil rights and the rich civil rights history. I believe that's 5:30 Central is when that starts. So.
Yeah.
I'll be tuning in.
All right. Y'all check that out as well. And Todd, let's talk about a couple things here as we are within, if people woke up this morning and maybe or yesterday and realize now we're within a month of the general election. And a couple things, I want to talk about gubernatorial stuff in just a second, but you have a story up at Alabama Daily News about Planned Parenthood spending big in the Alabama elections, and you have the documents to back that up.
That's right. Every month, political action committees have to report their spending. And if you get a big political donation worth $25,000 or more, you have to report it pretty much right away. And so for the last 2 weeks, Planned Parenthood and its affiliate groups have donated or contributed more than $800,000 to a political action committee called Alabama Healthy Families. That is a group that is set up to it's a pro-choice group that's set up to fight Amendment 2. Amendment 2 is a ballot initiative. It's pro-life. It's adding pro-life language to the Alabama Constitution. It doesn't have the force of law or anything like that, but it's obviously pro-life, and so these pro-choice groups are coming in to try to fight it. that would be natural. I wouldn't expect anything different than a pro-choice group to fight a pro-life amendment. However, the influx of $800,000,
wow,
that's a big deal. That's actually more than either candidate for governor has, if it gives you any kind of idea of the impact that can have. So it's a major deal. Nobody knows how they're going to spend the money.
Well, that was, yeah, of course, my next question. Is that going to be specifically on, you know, ads that would be fighting this ballot amendment, this measure here, Amendment 2, or would it back candidates? Can it be? How can it be used?
Well, sure. I mean, really, it could be used for any kind of electioneering, you know, election activities. But what the question is, what's the best use of it? And I would argue that spending that money on TV and radio is probably not the best use of it.
Hey, Stacey.
Well,
be careful.
Well, think about it.
No, go ahead.
Think about your audience, and you know, is your audience the one that they need to be running pro-choice ads on? I mean, it's just, and TV's the same way.
Are you going to have to make me honest? Honest, you're exactly correct. But you know, I'd say, well, but it's a great place, Todd, for them to put their money. But go ahead.
Of course.
I mean, you know, we got payroll.
Anybody else? So what's the real thing going on here? Could they do mail? I think mail would be effective because you can target people that you know are on your side. You know, broadcasting, you're getting everybody, but through the mail, you know, you can really pinpoint, hey, here are some pro-choice voters. Let's motivate them to get them out. But the biggest thing, I think, is GOTV, doing the micro-targeting and the canvassing, and on election day, the busing to push out pro-choice voters. And that could have a real impact. If you remember back to December for the Doug Jones, Roy Moore race, the Democrats were effective. They had enough time and enough money to organize to make a push on election day that made a difference to get their voters out. Nothing even close to that was expected for this election. But now, you know, $800,000 from Planned Parenthood, you know, that's going to push out a lot of pro-choice voters. And, you know, they're going to more than likely vote Democrat. It's a big deal.
Yeah, okay, so it is interesting because the idea here, like so much we've talked about in the national sense with the midterms, is this idea that you're not changing a lot of minds. You're just motivating your base to make sure that they're there on election day. I want to do this. I'm about to run to the hard break here at the bottom of the hour. Coming right back, more with Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. We'll talk about that story and a whole lot more when we return. Also, your text questions, 343-0106. We'll be right back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 1235 FM Talk 106.5. Once again, traffic westbound I-10. Heavy duty as people leaving the Florida Panhandle here. We told you about somewhat of the contraflow on the causeway. Also, with assistance, this is from LDOT Mobile area, with assistance from Mobile Police Department, LDOT diverting semi-trucks traveling westbound on I-10 at exit 27 to the Cochran-Africatown Bridge. Semis will then take 65 northbound. It will take the 165 northbound to 65 southbound in order to get back on I-10. Ooh, wow. The old up and around there. All right. Continue our conversation with Todd Stacey from the Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. That's right. You go there to sign up for the email, right? Right there on the front page.
Right there on the homepage. Just push subscribe.
All right, Tim. We talked about a couple things here. Number one, Planned Parenthood spending big in Alabama. Yeah, $800,000 is enough to catch some attention here. And it is this question, maybe is, you know, the bigger question here nationally, but here at home, that groups are we so galvanized that really it's not the issue of changing minds, it's about getting out your voters, right?
Absolutely. There are very few undecided voters right now. I mean, maybe in some of these districts where two people are brand new you know, and running for the first time, but that's pretty unlikely. You're not really convincing people at this point, especially in this divided state we're in. I mean, goodness gracious, have you ever seen division like this? The dividing lines are there. So yeah, it's just about pushing your base out. And any quality political operation, whether it's at the state level, county, whether you're a campaign, the congressional campaigns, the Senate campaigns, any campaign worth their salt right now is doing that, is finding their voters and getting ready to push them out, not trying to appeal to the middle. That's done. And so, yeah, it's going to be a test of, in these Senate races, in these states like Florida, Tennessee, Missouri, North Dakota, West Virginia, are, you know, who can push out their voters, whose voters are more motivated. And of course, the bigger question to me really is in these House races, you know, some of these coastal House races, what's going to happen there? Is it going to be enough to flip the House? But yeah, it's all about turnout, baby.
You know, and with your wisdom on this, your experience, the higher levels of politics here, I do want to ask you. I mean, I see something like this, and I wonder, you know, because a lot of times amendments come up in our state that are add-ons. There's something that they're already settled law. It is already a law of the land. There's no chance of something happening, but they want to pass another law to double down, triple down, quadruple down. I remember we did one on Sharia law being illegal in the state of Alabama. I was like, you know, we have no reason we're going to become, but oh yeah, I had people screaming at me that I was pro-Sharia law. I said, no, I'm just pointing out that that's not a thing that was happening, but when we go with a ballot amendment, maybe it is to motivate certain groups to at least be there on voting day, and then, oh yeah, while they're there, they may vote for the people that they want the votes for. So, I mean, I look at something like this on this amendment number two. I mean, this is not abortion is it's not going to change the law in Alabama. I mean, it's a federal law,
right? And it's not, and even the supporters of it say that they know it's not going to change the law now. And you're right, you're absolutely right. It's a motivation tool for, you know, to get out your kind of voters. You know, with respect to the amendment, and I'll just give it its due, Matt Friday, who sponsored it, and the people that are supporting it, have some good reasons. They have some legit reasons about, you know, the state of Tennessee, their Supreme Court went back and wrote abortion rights into the Constitution, and that's, you know, they don't want to see that happen in Alabama. So here's our constitutional amendment. I get that. That's legit. Of course, I don't think the Alabama Supreme Court was going to ever really do that, but there is a legit reason for this. But you're totally right. And these come up in election years, they don't do this on a random ballot time. You know, they do it to motivate voters for a general election. They've got a long history of this. This goes back to the Karl Rove days. Karl Rove was a master at timing these ballot initiatives at just the right time. He did it in 2004 during the Bush reelect. In states like Florida and Ohio and Missouri, there were abortion things on the ballot. There were resolutions on terrorism, things like that, to really galvanize the Republican base and get them out. So, yeah, absolutely. Of course, you have to be careful because the opposite is true. I mean, I don't think, you know, look at what's happening with Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. They're going to be motivating their voters to get out, and it you know, that could even be a wash in the end. So it cuts both ways.
Yeah, y'all feel that slight aching pain in your nose? And do you realize you've been pulled around by a ring in your nose over the years with ballot amendments? I'm sorry to break y'all's hearts on what's true. Also, I mean, amendment number one. All right, we'll see that adding language to the state constitution to authorize the display of the Ten Commandments on public property, including public schools. We've been here before, right?
Yeah.
I remember something like this.
I seem to remember the Ten Commandments. I mean, again, the supporters and the authors of this say they have legit reasons, that there have been some court cases, and they really would like to get it to the Supreme Court. That's another reason they'd like to get it to the Supreme Court, so that we could finally have a ruling on this. But, you know, that's all well and good. But, yeah, it's about it's at least halfway about turning out your voters. I'll be generous.
Okay, then we go to the ones that don't seem that way to me, just because I don't understand them as clearly. Amendment number 3 that we're going to see, the University of Alabama Board of Trustees amendment, and it's, what does this have to do with making changes to the board? And this is the stuff that people get lost in the weeds on.
It is, and it actually, that's just a very simple one. The Alabama University of Alabama Board of Trustees is self-governing. They're not like other boards where it's a lot of political appointees and everything. They kind of keep it in-house, and so they have edited slightly their process for selecting trustees. But under the Constitution, it has to go to the ballot. So I don't expect that to be a big deal, but. Yeah, the fact that we've got to vote on these things is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
The Alabama Policy Institute has put together a good explanation, good explanations of all these ballot initiatives. You can find those on Alabama Daily News. Of course, they're not in one place. You have to actually search for, ballot initiatives or amendments. Or you can go to the Alabama Policy Institute website. Because they've got a pretty thoughtful approach to all these, just to see what's worth voting for and what's not.
Also, the ballot amendment number 4, the Alabama Legislative Vacancies Amendment. This one is what ripped from yesterday or last year's headlines. I mean, this is one that may people may think, okay, read through this one because we've talked about this.
Oh, this is look, I'm. I am a wholehearted supporter of this, and I think we have talked about this on air. I mean, you've got a situation right now where if a lawmaker resigns or, God forbid, dies or, otherwise leaves office, even up to a couple of months out of the election, then they're gonna call a special election to fill that. And it's such a waste of money. It's such a waste of time. It causes voter fatigue. You had a situation this past year where up here in Montgomery, when the same Senate seat was on the ballot 7 times.
What?
And in November it will be the 8th. The same Senate seat.
How's that happening?
Well, because it was the primary runoff and the general to fill the original special election, the original vacancy. And then you had the normal election process of the primary runoff, and we're about to have the general.
Oh, that's right.
So, I mean, it's absolutely insane. This amendment clarifies it to where, there's not going to be an election. We can wait until the seat is on the ballot again.
I mean, would the governor then not be able to call for a special? It would be out of the governor's hands?
Well, right now the Constitution mandates that the governor call a special election.
Right.
She has some flexibility as far as when, but she has to, and that's what this clarifies. She does not have to do that. It gives a lot more authority to the governor.
All right, Ted, just joining us, talking to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, and a lot of stories here. Speaking of the governor, both the governor and the man who would want to be governor were in our neck of the woods over the weekend. Governor Ivey opening up her campaign headquarters in a place that we have now figured out. I don't know if you paid attention down here in southwest Alabama, but there's a shopping center, the Pine Brook Shopping Center on Airport Boulevard, that seems to be the required home of any Republican campaign. There's, I don't know how this is working, this store front that they lease out, that for Governor Ivey, and then Walt Maddox coming through with his bus tour as well. So we got to see both of them over the weekend.
Well, yeah, they're starting to get around the state. I did my part on the bus tour with Walt Maddox last weekend, and I'm looking forward to hopefully traveling around with Governor Ivey either this week or next. I really want to get a flavor for both campaigns. But yeah, look, it's the home stretch. You got to get out there and leave nothing on the field. Walt Maddox you've seen him be a lot more aggressive. He's going after the governor. He's calling her out on different issues. But she's also responding more aggressively. She's calling him out on these abortion issues. They're kind of duking it out on what it means to be pro-life. Walt Maddox is he claims he's pro-life, but Ivy has a lot of questions about, well, hang on a second. This is what it means to be pro-life to me. You can't just say you are. And that's uncomfortable territory for a Democrat because he does not want to anger the pro-choice base, but he's trying to appeal to, you know, some independents and moderates out there. Alabama's about a 65 to 70% pro-life state. So, you know, that's clearly Maddox needs to appeal to some of those voters. But that's the issue du jour. And, of course, you know, they're talking about the lottery. They're talking about Medicaid expansion, talking about different ways to fund education and things like that. So, you know, it's time to go. Leave nothing on the field. You better say it and not leave it unsaid after November 6th.
There it is. We'll have a lot more to talk about between now and then as we get ready for the general election. Because it's a thing, y'all, and y'all need to go study those ballot amendments as well. Todd, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for being part of the show.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. What a great website. And you can go to the website and get, like, buffet, right? Onesie twosies from the website. But also, I would suggest you get that email in your inbox each morning. Gets you up to date on what you need to know. Just like we do, right? We're working as a team here. 1247 FM Talk 106.5. Coming back, your calls, your text, 343-0106.